He really didn't make standing for prayer. Our Father, we do praise and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who condescended to come to us in that day in human flesh to give himself an offering, a sacrifice for mankind, and then to redeem us to himself by that precious shed blood, and then bring us into his kingdom by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and give us all manner of grace and assurance that he which hath begun a good work in us will perform the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things working together for good to them that love the Lord God, who are called according to his purpose. We thank you, Lord, for this, and know where our grace stands, and where every all power and might stands, it stands in thee, O God. We have nothing in ourselves, even as we brought nothing in the earth of ourselves, neither shall we take of ourselves anything out of it. But it's all grace and goodness of thee, Lord Jesus Christ, and we give thee honor and glory. And Lord, we pray tonight if there be anyone here at all who has not given thee the glory that you deserve by, first of all, giving that life over to you, that you might come back into that same life and fill it with yourself. We pray, Lord, that that person or persons shall hastily do so, to repent of sin, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then wait upon thee, Lord, that you might fill that vessel, sealing them in, that they might be partakers of the glory which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray for this, Lord, knowing that this is not only possible, but it's been done many, many, many times. For the bride is a great company. I suppose we could say it's innumerable, Lord. We really don't know. But it's a great company. You're washed in the blood and filled with the Holy Spirit, and do show forth the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, that the people of God are your inheritance. And Father, what a great thing that is when we realize we are your inheritance. And then that makes us marvel, Lord, at how humble you yourself must be, because you made all these things, and you could do so much if you wanted to do it. And you look down and you made people your inheritance. Oh, Lord, then be thou our inheritance. Be everything to us, O God, that we might not have any thoughts, any desires, any pulls, Lord, anything whatsoever in our lives that is wholly of thee, Lord. That all things may be of thee and from thee, and then back toward thee, O God, completing that circle. Blessed be thy wonderful name. We think, Lord, so many times people sing, may the circle not be unbroken. And we don't want an unbroken circle. We think of people, but Lord, we much greater desire that concerning thee thyself, that you might receive honor. For Lord, in our moments of earnestness and sincerity, no matter how we might have failed you, what we look like on this earth, and how we might chastise ourselves, knowing also, Lord, you correct us, there is one thing we desire above everything, Lord, and that is, if we could honestly really give you glory, what a wonderful thing that would be. That would surely make us feel good, O Lord God. So help us tonight, thou helper of the helpless, thou redeemer of the sinner, thou finder of that which is lost. Lord, tonight we lean upon thee in thy goodness and thy grace, and we're looking forward, Lord, that you would teach us by your word. Give us the truth, O God. May your light shine within the inner man, and then by grace shine out through the outer man, that the world might see that Jesus lives in us. From every child, Lord, to every adult, may the grace of God be upon each one. May every doubt be dissolved, Lord Jesus Christ. May every problem, O God, be solved. And by that we mean, Lord, that you become our all in our all, our great confidant, O Lord, our rock, our refuge. And Lord, there be nothing we desire, for we have it all things in Jesus Christ. O God, if there be an army that would march on, that be that invulnerable army, let it be us tonight, Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, we wait upon thee and praise thy name for all the good word we've heard, Lord, by various ministers, and the good testimonies, Lord, amongst the people, and the joy and the desire in people's hearts. All these things, Lord, are so beautiful and so wonderful. Peace like a river attendeth our way. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And so we praise you, Lord, and rest in your grace and your mercy, believing you've given us words to say and ears to hear, and all that Christ may be fully manifested. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Lord bless you and may be seated. I'm sure we're happy to be back here in the house of the Lord tonight. And this is the house of the Lord. Remember years ago, the Lord dwelt in tabernacles, you know, kind of a tent. And things tightening up here. I guess maybe that's fine now. Now, then they built him a temple. And you know, they tried to put him in one place. But thank God tonight, it'd be difficult to put the Lord in one place. The psalmist finally said, the heavens cannot contain me. And Solomon said, how then will this temple be able to hold you? All the prophets said the same thing. We have a great and mighty God. And so God tonight, if you pardon the crude expression, has scattered himself over the face of the earth, the indwelling of Brian. And you know, they're all part of what Brother Branham called, and so truly is called, the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not found in denomination or organization. He's found in the house of his own building, the temples of the Holy Ghost, all together making one a body, revealing Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank him for that. And trust one day we'll see him face to face and hear him tell us those things which we could not begin to understand now. Remember when Jesus was going away, he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to help you understand the things I can't tell you, because you don't have the ability now to receive what I've got to say. And I have a very definite idea that when we're glorified, we'll hear a lot more things that he couldn't tell us down here, even though we do have the Holy Spirit. In fact, it'll take ages and ages. I just don't believe it'll ever run out. How can you exhaust God, the infinite God? And you know, time is going so fast now, but in the future there'll be no time, it'll be eternity. And we won't have to measure things. It will be in the immeasurable age. And that'll be so good. Today when people measure things and we go by certain standards, as Brother Rezinski mentioned, and their earthly standards are good. We know there's a word standard this day, but later on, we'll be right with the standard, one with it. And we won't need to look anywhere, we'll be it. And that's wonderful, one with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great day is coming. Actually, what a great day is here. You know, that's what many people don't realize. Brother Branham said, if the angel of the Lord were to say to him, what age would you like to live in? He said, I'd pick this age. Now, I don't think he said that from living in this age. You know, you could be pretty cagey on a thing like that. Say, well, you know, like a bird in the hand or two in the bush. Well, what age would you like to live in? Well, I'm in this age, I better pick this because I got something, you know, now. Well, that's not the way he answered. He really meant that this day, in this age, just before the coming of the Lord. And that's right. In other words, we'll be in face to face in the great marriage supper of the Lamb. It's a great day we live in. And I know there might be cataclysmic days ahead of us, but when was God not sufficient? Remember the great cataclysm came in the time of the flood. God was sufficient. And how simple it was. He said, when that rain comes, we'll just float it out. And you know, a lot of people just don't understand we're going to float it out. It's right, we're building the ark now. The ark of refuge is Jesus Christ. We press into him. Did he ever lose a battle? No, sir. He... overcame death and hell, has given us the keys of death and hell. In other words, we have life. And the key of death and hell, face it, is life. Just like the key to darkness is life. The key to poverty is riches. So he's given us life, everlasting. And that's the key we have. There's no danger of us being cast away. How we ought to rejoice in that. And how we ought to make everything blend itself toward that end. I think that's one of the tragedies of why, like Brother Cyril mentioned last night, and put it so true, that in this day of a mixed multitude, you know, we're in that very day. That's why there's a lot of problems, and that's why you look around and say, well, this person says, I really believe that message. Well, something's missing. Not in everybody. I certainly hope that. But it could be missing. What is it? You know, we don't get a chance to organize. We don't get a chance to get a second generation. We're like Israel. We moved out as a mixed multitude. And my, I agree with him. We need experience. Those that don't have a real, genuine, born-again experience had better not trust to say, well, I heard that word. I saw that prophet. Now, that's good to hear the word and to see the prophet. I know that one little brother was so upset because some things were being done that were not legitimate. They were entirely wrong. And he said, you boys that claim that you're in this message, you don't even act like Christians. Well, we knew the prophet. Did they know the prophet? You know, remember another fellow, I'm not going to be critical now, but just want to let you know how some people are on their toes. And some of these men came by and they tried to convince a dear friend of mine that Brother Branham was the Lord Jesus Christ reincarnated. And he said, you know, Brother Dale, they didn't fool me a bit. He said, those guys with him all the time. And I said, that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, something should have rubbed off. I said, that's right. They might have eaten with him, slept with him, and hunted and all else, and I don't think that's bad. I think that's good. I wasn't a hunter. I'd love to hunt with him and fish with him and done stuff like that, but well, I didn't have to. We sat around and talked hour after hour and talked about all these good things of the Lord, and it was exhilarating as well as just enlightening, and I mean that, the word, it is exhilarating, because as Brother Brown said, the wine and oil, wine is a symbol of the process of the stimulation of the Word of God. And if the Word of God cannot stimulate us, then nothing will. Remember, it's that Word of God that stimulated us enough by the Holy Spirit to get us out of sin and darkness, walking toward Jesus. You see? And so we thank the Lord that even though it is a mixed multitude, and even though we are an end time generation where there's going to be somebody walking into that promised land, sure there is. Brother Van said, let each one believe by faith we're that person. And we're living in that day. And I don't know what lies ahead. I wouldn't even begin to try to visualize what lies ahead for us just before the millennium and in the millennium. I can't do it. I wouldn't attempt it because I don't know. But it's got to be absolutely overwhelming. A brother Brown, I know, mentioned on the tape that he didn't dare tell us what lay ahead, and he might get so perplexed and worried, some would get so nervous with what's coming on the earth. Well, I tell you, listen to me. The Apostle Paul said, you joyfully gave up your worldly goods. You took the spoiling of this world good because you knew that in heaven you had an enduring substance, a treasure laid up. What would it matter what lay ahead of us in this life, as far as the problems are concerned, if we could only and would only apprehend spiritually the glory that shall be revealed in us? It wouldn't amount to anything. They'd be just nothing. See, wouldn't mean a thing. So we pray that the Lord will keep enlivening us, illuminating us of those things which are ahead. And may His grace be abundantly manifested in us. We can say what we want, but it is pretty difficult to ever tell anybody of the goodness and grace of God in bringing His promise to pass and fortifying His word to this end, that He sent a great man like Elijah for this day. I say it's pretty hard to tell him that if the life is lacking. It is. It's just pretty hard to tell. Now, it's okay to write an encyclopedia and send it up by mail. I guess that's fine. But you know, as Brother Brandon said, God never said send out tracts. He said, you go and be witnesses. And I believe that witness is from the inside out. Remember also he said that the angel of God told him, our thoughts speak louder than our words. Now I'm going to tell you a little story about that. If you don't think it's true, I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, I'm not going to excuse myself and say I can't help myself. Sure, I can help myself about a lot of things. I'm lazy. Just might as well admit it's plain lazy. My wife always said you shouldn't tell your faults. I think that they're going to be settled in the housetop, aren't you? Nobody going to cover up then. But you know, I shouldn't be this way, but I'm a little insulting to folk on purpose. I kind of kid them in a meet them a little bit. That's because I like them. That's the fact. If I'm real polite and just so-so, and later on get to know you, and I don't sort of, you know, tease it a little bit, so to speak. I know I shouldn't do it. Well, you know that, well, we're just friendly, but if I'm real friendly to the person, I sort of kind of lose them a little bit. And I say, I know I shouldn't do that. And that gives left-handed compliments. See? I was with Brother Branham one day because a man was very sick. We brought him there for him to pray for him. No, the next time, not that time. I was with two friends. And this lady was fearful she had cancer. See? And so she came to Brother Branham because she'd been cured of cancer in his ministry. Now, nobody heard me say this. But as Brother Branham was talking, I gave him a left-handed compliment. And I should not have done it. And I said quietly that nobody caught it. The guy between it, I said, you've got them all fooled. When the world like that went right into a trap and read my heart until he saw that I was just putting it in the wrong words. That I was saying, you've got the people's confidence because you are what you are. He drew a breath, sighed, his face softened, he went right back. There's proof right there that your thoughts speak louder than your words. I never knew he'd do that to me. But he wanted to see if he'd be a real believe. Or had his mouth finally betrayed him, he turned on the man that he said he loved. I learned a lesson there. You'd never get me to say that again to him. Because I loved him with all my heart. You can't give your life for a man because Jesus did that. There'd be a lot of us here tonight. We'd be glad to give our lives for him if we could bring him back. We don't need to do that because Jesus did. If we love and respect him, we ought to give our lives to Jesus. To prove we did love him because that's why he came. See? So we learn a lot of things as we go by. Sometimes we learn at them. I learned that lesson. I should learn it for all my friends. Because although we do have those friends that are more precious than others, every friend ought to be precious. You know, it's no sin to get old, but it's a sin to not be sentimental before you get old. You know, if you get old, you get a little more sentimental. I think it's a crime we're not more sentimental before we get old. I go face it now. I don't see friends. It's not the same time anymore. Say, well, you're getting old. That's right. I'm getting old. There's a place in the graveyard for me, too. But I hope there's a place in heaven a little bit bigger than that graveyard. So I don't think there's surety. But even Paul said, I hate to preach this gospel and be a cancer. So we go down the road, and whether we're horse-drawn, car-drawn, whatever it is, there's going to come an end to that road. But you know if that road is eternal life, it just comes to a wide spot in the road, and then never changes. We're there. May the Lord help us to do what we can do. What we can't do and not supposed to do, know it, stay waiting. What we can do and are supposed to do not only with all our hearts, but to do in the time and season and will of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been bringing various messages and sort of cast around in my mind what to talk about tonight, and it's kind of hard to just really think what we might speak about. And I couldn't get away from the thought to just sort of turn the pages back from talking on the word, the ministry, that is the ministry, or rather the doctrine. But it might be kind of pleasant, because we know why we're here. We're here because of the ministry of one man. And so I thought I might speak tonight on Christ's ministry, identifying Elijah. Elijah wasn't Jesus Christ per se, that is the man called William Branham. But Christ himself identified this man as Elijah, the very ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, as Brother Branham once said, and people could judge him wrong and say, but we know we judge him right. He said, you know that Jesus Christ had more success in his ministry in my life right here than he had in his own. That's right. Brother Branham went around the world. Although Jesus healed all the sick, so did that King William Branham. See, not healed. He didn't heal anybody. But he saw them all healed through the very ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said the other day, he could stand on that platform and say, bring me 24 of your worst cases, I guarantee healing for all. We may all go through the prayer line, but 50% get healed. but a challenge. No man could make that challenge. Nobody. Nobody. Only God could do it. But when God made it by the lips of a man, many people took him the wrong way, and many became offended. I'm glad that we were that group, some of the group that didn't get offended. So good. It was so good. You don't know it, perhaps, but I quit preaching at that time. I was working for a living. Frankly, I didn't even want to go hear him. My wife went to hear him, and she came back telling how wonderful it was. And a very sweet preacher friend of mine insisted I go. I went to hear him. I sat in that building where he was ministering to the sick, way at the very back. For 2 hours I wept and wept and wept. I could not refrain from crying. And I knew I'd have to go back preaching. I didn't cry because I knew I'd have to go back. No, I was still a bit worried I'd have to go back preaching. So I went out and very gallantly bought myself a black suit with a little pinstripe. You know, the streets have a black suit with a pinstripe. I don't say the tails to go with it, but it's nice to have a black suit with a pinstripe. But I didn't go back preaching until 2 years later, when dying the TB of the pituitary gland, God healed me, raised me back to health. Then I knew I must go and spread the word. And at that time, I didn't know either that my heart would not be satisfied until I learned what the prophet said. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is your refreshing. I don't have to worry anymore what the word says, if I'm right or not. We have a vindicated message. That's so good. Nobody but those who believe it have it. And so that makes a difference? Sure it does. Sure it does. I'm sorry for them. I can't compel them. I don't intend to compel them. This ministry is so great, that is the word itself, on the anointed lips of a believer, that Paul said, if you can't convince a man after a second time, just leave him as a reprobate. Brother Brown said, if you talk to the person 2 times, let it rest. Because I got to pray and fast and talk for years. Now, he's not talking about the same gospel that Paul and William Branham are talking about. This gospel has power. Let the light strike the seed. You pour water on that seed. You're going to feel like, well, the Lord bless you. I just be talking here all night, and that's not good for either one of us. Some of you have to leave and be late, and then going to have to watch, and I'll be able to have enough. I've got enough breath. Never worry about that. If my breath goes out, if the channel the breath goes through, it wears out a little bit. The ministry, Christ's ministry, identifies Elijah. A very simple sermon. At least I trust it is. Acts, the 3rd chapter, and you'll find this one of my very, very favorite portions of Scripture. Every time God keeps drawing me back to a part of His Word, I always find that there's something I see through a mirror very well. But there comes a day when the mirror reflects the Word beautifully. Beginning at verse 19. In that 3rd chapter. Repent you therefore and be converted. Repent therefore and be converted. That's turned around. Get turned again. That your sins may be blotted out. For the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And I can't speak on that. I wish we had time. But it's very wonderful here. Now, and then God shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you. Not which was before preached. Jesus was not preached. He was there. He wasn't preached, he was there. See, so you know right away that that rendition's wrong. The original Greek says he was appointed. Whom the heavens must receive, not receive, retain, he's been received. Retain. Until the restitution, the word is actually restoration, comes from the root word restoration, of all things that God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now, we could read Revelation 10:1-7, but we won't do it. Now, over in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, And verse 11, Jesus said that Elijah must truly first come and restore all things. And the reason he said this was because of a vision of Jesus Christ in his resurrected body in the millennial kingdom. And that's in Matthew 17:1-5. Now in Matthew 16:28, Jesus had said, some of you be standing here, which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, and showed this actual kingdom by a vision, and here was Moses and Elijah with Jesus in this kingdom. Now this startled the three apostles because they were taught that Elijah must precede this kingdom. And here there's a vision of Elijah in the kingdom, and there's not one thing shown or mentioned about a ministry of Elijah preceding this. So they said, now what goes on here? Here you've given us what we know to be a true picture of the kingdom, but you haven't shown one thing about Elijah preceding this, because he's not shown before the kingdom, he is shown in the kingdom. And they said, what does this mean? And Jesus said, yes, he said, they said, right, Elijah truly going to come and restore all things. And then there'll be this kingdom upon earth. Now, over in Malachi, chapter 4, 5, and 6, it says, here, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to their fathers. Now, you notice I left out that part that says the heart of the father to the children. The reason I didn't read that is because it's passed away. It'll never be fulfilled again. When the Word of God is fulfilled, it passes away. Now, you don't rip it out of your Bible. You need it there to give you understanding, but this has been fulfilled. Never be fulfilled again. It's over. So now, Elijah's going to come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he's going to turn the heart of the children back to their fathers, lest, he said, I come and smite utterly the earth with a curse. Now, you notice he said, I am going to send Elijah before that time, that the earth is smitten utterly with a curse. Now, that's a wonderful promise to know, that Elijah is going to come before there is a curse. Now, you know what the curse is. The curse is under the sixth seal of the great tribulation, where God purges the earth, he purges Israel, and he purges the church, purges it all. See, there's a great time of purging. And the cataclysmic event, which will actually end in the destruction of all but the 144,000, see, because he saves them according to Zechariah, and then he has got to send Elijah before that time. Now, if he's going to send Elijah before the sixth seal, then of course he's going to send him in order to bring about a resurrection and a rapture wherein these people will be allowed to come into that kingdom. Now, let's just prove that from the book of Revelation chapter 20. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Verse 4, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them which beheaded witness of Jesus, and for the word of God which had not worshipped the beast through the ages, nor his image through the ages, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now it tells you right here that if you're going to reign and rule with Jesus Christ in that millennium, you have got to be in the resurrection. Understandable? All right, now let's watch this. Let's go back again to the book of Matthew. Chapter 16, and it says here, 28, there be some of you standing here which shall not taste the death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Alright, now if I got the right chapter, let's go to the book of Mark, or let me turn there for you, the 9th chapter, and in the 10th chapter, I can't find it. Now, verse 1. And verily I say unto you, there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste the death, till they see the kingdom of God. Luke says the same thing. So therefore, the kingdom of the Son of Man, the Son of God, the kingdom of God is the same kingdom. Now, what does Paul, who relates the truth of this, tell us?
Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor corruption incorruption. So therefore, there has to be a resurrection to put you into the millennium. So therefore, Elijah must receive the first resurrection. And since the first resurrection belongs to the Gentile bride, then Elijah the prophet absolutely has to come to the Gentile bride before she's raptured. And because there's a resurrection, right? Then there's a rapture. And Elijah's got to precede it. So we have this beautiful thought here then, that Elijah comes and his ministry of restoration gets the people ready for this great rapture. And the great resurrection gets them all ready to be drawn to the marriage supper of the Lamb and into the great millennial period of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice also what we read in the book of Acts, that third chapter. And this is very important because so many people just don't understand it. Now, watch. He says, verse 21, whom the heavens must retain until the time, the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now you notice right in here that what is God doing? He's restoring the word because that was which was spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Now I know right away some people try to figure out in the Bible and say, let me find out those things in the Bible that God says naturally or spiritually, certain things have fallen into disrepute or into a bad place spiritually, and then God will restore. And then pretty soon the mind begins to go thinking, oh, the earth is unrestored. Well now, there's going to be a great Elijah company go forth and restore the earth. And then a great Elijah company will restore this, and they'll restore that. And the beast of the field will come to an agreement with themselves and with people. And pretty soon you've got the people making the millennium. Now look at that. That's what a lot of people do, and that's all wrong. You do not have Elijah company restoring anything like that. It categorically states, and we can prove by the Word of God, that what is going to be restored is the Word itself. The Word will be restored to you. Not as though this book per se by itself needs restoration. It's what the people did with it. The correcting of the errors is what must take place. And this is what Elijah's ministry is going to do. He is going to restore all that which is spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. And that is the Word of Almighty God will be restored. Now, I want you to notice here that John the Baptist was called Elijah. You know that. And also from Malachi 4, 5, and 6, John the Baptist had a part of the ministry there. See? Now, since Elijah must restore, let's look and see what John did as the Elijah for his day. Notice what it says here in verse 16 and 17 of Luke 1. And many of the children of Israel shall John turn to the Lord their God. And John shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now what is turning the hearts of the fathers to the children? In the Greek, the word and is often translated, is often used as even, from the word cave, even the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now that's actual restoration of a bride through means of a restored word. Now, let's look at this. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now, who are the fathers? The prophets. Peter said, you are the children of the prophets, so therefore the prophets are the fathers. Now then, what's in their heart? The Word of God. Because the prophets were meant to bring the Word, and it's from them Israel has its life, not from the flesh. No, sir. It's by the Spirit. Now, this man is going to take the words of the prophets and bring them to the children of that day. Now, what's it going to be? The disobedience to the wisdom of the just. Now remember, in the Greek, this word disobedience does not mean a confrontation with a command which you refuse to comply with. Like Johnny shut the door. He said, shut it yourself. That's not what that word disobedience means. That word disobedience in the Greek actually means to be unaware of the true interpretation of the word. That's what it is. Not saying I don't believe this, I won't believe this, I won't have this. I refuse to do it. It's a misunderstanding. You say, Brother Bill, then would you tell me that God will hold me guilty if I misunderstand that word? Yes, if it passes across your path with a true revelation and you do not seek to know the word of God, God's going to hold you absolutely guilty for it. God does no different than the policeman down at that corner when it says no U-turn. But a bush hides the U-turn sign, and you make the U-turn. You say, well, I didn't know the sign said that. Well, he said, it's just too bad for you. It cost you millions to pay the $20 fine. Now notice, he's going to turn their hearts, the disobedience, to the wisdom of the just. Now who is the just one? God is the just one, and he came forth in that just one, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus would not be the just one unless he was God, because there is none good, no, not one, save God. There is none righteous, no, not one, save God. See, they said good master, didn't they? He said, why do you call him good? There's only one good, and that's God. Are you calling him God? They said, forget it. You can't deal with people. You can deal with the elect of the people, but you cannot deal with people per se. See? Now, notice what's going to happen. It's going to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, isn't this the most ridiculous statement? To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What's to make ready if you're already prepared? Honey, the dinner's prepared. Well, is it ready, sweetheart? She says, oh boy, I had to marry you too. Look, prepared is ready. Ready, prepared. Not in the scriptures. There's only one place you're going to find the word prepared, and that's the vessel afore prepared unto glory by the Lord. And so therefore John came to bring the word to the children of the prophets, which are the true seed, in order to get them ready for the Lord. And that's exactly what this Elijah ministry is going to do today. By the word of God, it is going to turn the people to the truth, which when they come to a direct confrontation will receive and believe and obey. In other words, they're prepared to start to be one with that word. And you cannot be one with that word except precept upon precept and line upon line and here little and there little, and that becomes your rest and your refreshing. See, right with that word. This is where we engage. The idea of a mental conception, it has got to be an absolute, genuine revelation, even though we be a mixed multitude. Listen, there's going to be a Joshua and Caleb to go in, and I want to be tight with those men to go in on the delivered word of Almighty God. Now, notice again, because I might not touch this later. So let's go back to the book of Malachi again and see this. Now, the fourth chapter. I don't know what message I'll bring, so I might not work it in next time. I want you to get it now. He said here in verse 3, you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be cast into the soles of your feet. Now, you know that's when God brings his complete wrath upon the earth. See? In the day that I shall do this, said the Lord, remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with statutes of it. Now, listen. What is Horeb? Horeb is Sinai. Why is it Horeb now instead of Sinai? Because Sinai is where God gave Moses the law the first time, and they broke it in disobedience and idolatry, and he smashed it in anger because of what they'd done. But God gave him the word the second time. And this time he called it Horeb, because that's what Deuteronomy twice did. And so God says, remember how I dealt with Moses. I'm going to deal with Elijah. I'm going to give you the word the second time. And as the word brought the children to the fathers, the word the children so brought them in, you see those children, of the word the prophet, brought them clear. Now, we are going to be turned back to our fathers. Once the word got in full view to the children back in that day, now they became our fathers, we are going to be turned back to that four words. It has got to be a twice given word, otherwise he would not say, remember my servant Moses in Horeb. Because it was there that he received the word, and he received it twice. Is that right? Certainly you know that's true. Once in Exodus, and then later on again. Now, Elijah comes to bring us the word the second time. And this is the word of God restored for the day and the hour in which we live. Now, we also know that this word is given to the bride in order to make her a virgin of the word. Now, that's very true because we've got it in the Bible. We just don't argue and say, well, Brother Ben, I think it's otherwise. We don't say such nonsensical things like this. The word says it. Now Paul said here, I'm jealous over you than godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband, and I may present you to take virgin to Christ. Now, remember what happened to the church. The church starts as a mustard seed, grows up into a tree that covers the whole earth. The church takes over the whole world and is filled with filthy birds. You tell me Christ is coming back for a rock and roll despicable witch like that? You think he's going to come back for a worldwide church system that's full of filthy birds because birds mean filth, foul doctrine, foul birds lodging themselves in the trees? When he was espoused to a virgin, he demands a virgin. How do you think that somebody would feel like under the days of betrothal and so on that the man brought his daughter to this gentleman that was going to marry her, and he found that she was a literal hot in the street? He said, I'm sure you're going to take her someplace else. Now, do you think God is going to set up for less than a virgin? Now, what kind of a virgin is he? He's a virgin of the Word. See? In other words, as Brother Brown said, and this is why I like that term about repenting in the mind, is because Brother Branham said that the church today has a holy womb. Now, pardon the expression, I've got to use it with the Bible, use the prophet use. And the holy womb is the holy mind. And if you close your ear to the truth, the devil will stick them all in your ear, and you'll never hear again. And that's what Hebrews 6 said. They'll never hear again. You turn down this message. Because it's once and for all, it's all over. So God sends the prophet Elijah with the word ministry, so the bride could be turned back to a virgin of the word. Now you know she's got to be a virgin of the word because she's the body of Christ. Now never forget this and watch your alphas and omegas. If you just watch the Bible like the prophet taught us, brother, sister, you will never have a bit of trouble. You don't run away on your own, just listen to what he taught us. Now, we know that Jesus is Alpha and Omega, right? Alpha and Omega. He doesn't say I'm A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so on. He said I'm A and Z, or A and Z. I learned to say A and Z, so it's pretty hard to say Z again. So you got to forgive me if I get that other letter again. Now, he said I'm A and Z. And the first and the last. He doesn't say B, C, and D, and so on. Follow me? Now, the bride is the body of Christ. So she is Alpha and Omega, or she's not the bride. Right? You got to hear the word yet. So the prophet comes back. The prophet comes, and he brings us back to the very original word of Almighty God. He gives us that word. It's restored. Restored where? In our understanding. See? I didn't understand the prophet said that. He needs your understanding, Jacob. He's understanding. That's what hearing the word is. And it comes by way of the mind. Then the Holy Spirit falls upon it, and it comes part of us. Until one day, this word here, he said, I'm going to write my law in your mind and in your heart. When this word comes here in my mind and in my heart, I am that living word. But supposing I've got the wrong interpretation, I become just what my interpretation is. serpent, you women, that you can wear a slant. God have pity on you. You'll never make it, because a woman is an abomination who wears men put the clothes pertaining to men. You say, well, but the thing is this, and I don't want to be hard on anybody, but you know, in the news here, nobody wears them, but you might be sort of sneaking around the back door when you get home from here, see? So, I got to just sort of put that in there. Now, listen, I'm 57 years old this fall, and I was just a little kid, oh, just 4 or 5 years old maybe, when a lady in our town, I use that word with favor to her, came back dressed in a man's suit. That's where it started. And that's where your slants came from. You say, well, the material's different. Now, don't give me that nonsense. It's the same old thing. Now, I know many times you sort of feel like that you look better with your slants, because if you're climbing through a barbed wire fence, it's so you should, might do it. I don't know. You might have to do it. And then you say, my dress gets caught and it's pulled up over my head, I'd be embarrassed. Better be embarrassed than an abomination. Because your slants might not embarrass you, but they'll abominate you.
Well,
you got to sort of make up your mind to that. See? Now, the prophet came back to give us the understanding. His understanding is from Almighty God. If you got to go all the way with that word, can't cut your hair, and the men got to act like men, they got to be head of the house once more. They got to begin taking the place of spiritual guidance in the church. We left all that to the women, you know, because, and women have been fooled, you know, women get fooled by their nature. Now, I jumped your way up preaching my sermon, but give me 2 hours and a half and we'll get back to it. Thank you. And there's a three folk here, man. You're my kind of people. The three little boys said, Brother Ben, I sure love you up there preaching. I said, son, come here and get a quarter. At the end of the week, just keep saying it, and I'll give you a dollar before the week's over. You're my kind of people. I love that, see? Now, looking at this word here, the prophet brought us this word, and he brought us back to the understanding of the word in order that we may be fully conversant with it, in order to do the things that we ought to do and not be taken away from them. See? To do it. Like saying a while ago concerning the fact that women preaches. What made them that way? Their nature made them that way. Now, women are normally sweet. They have to be. Now, don't pardon my language, but look, if we were in a little class here, doctors and things, you just have to forgive me because I can't be too professional, but I got to bring it down to where it is. Now, you know that a woman is equipped for motherhood. Her nature makes her that way. Now, let's look at it. What woman, unless she was equipped by God through nature, to have this soft, sweet disposition, why would she get married to go through successive pregnancy where her body is all distorted, she gets varicose veins, that terrible attacks of hemorrhoids, nausea, and all these things, time after time, and they bear child after child until she's completely worn out. She's rebelling today to see her nature change. But her nature, being what it is, she has got to have that soft, sweet nature to rear those children, or she's a flop and a failure. Now, many women, because you see nearly all of them got that sweet nature, they think that's the sweetness of God, and makes them realize they're a preacher girl that are so sweet and so nice, and that's a trick of the devil. Because that natural sweetness, if it's not of God, by the Word and the Holy Ghost, is a curse to you, unless you know exactly what it is. And that nature has made men think that women are better suited for spiritual things, and they begin sending them to church and the kids to church until we're in such a rotten mess. And you know what? I love the prophet's message because the way he preaches, men must be in authority. And he lets you know that holy salvation is not worth that. Such as people preaching about dear sweet mothers and filling the altars, which they can do. He lets us know plain, brother, sister, that it's got to be by that word, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and no other way. And the man must be the head of it. And you know what? That appeals to us who be the Lord. The men want to come back and be the head. And the real women, I say you real women, you want it that way. See? That's exactly right. Now you know that's the Lord. So the prophet came in order to bring us the understanding of the word for our day, not to take the place of Jesus Christ. No. One dear brother that Brother Bass speaks very highly of, who can't understand it. that we were sitting at dinner with Brother Barry Green and the folk in the restaurant in Tucson one day, and he said, "But Brother Dale," he said, "Brother Branham is not my righteousness." "Oh," I said, "my brother." I said, "I don't want to sound bold and boastful. But I said, if any man has masterpieces on the subject of Christ, our righteous, I've got them and I've preached them." And that's a fact. I love that subject. I've investigated, read the books, and studied the Word of God, go down line by line, till it's identified right on line. I said, "Brother Branham never came to place to take the place of Jesus Christ. He came in order to make sure of the promises of God for you and me, so he did." He doesn't still understand that, though. William Brown is not my Savior. At that time, Waterloo, Iowa, that day in February, about the first or second back there in 1958, when I found many people were saying, "Brother," some people, not many, were saying he was the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, "Brother Brown, I love you as a friend, but you're not the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not my Savior." Amen. He said, "That's right." But I said, "Are you aware then?" The people call me that. He said, "Brother Dale, I am not only aware, but I also know by vision, by revelation to God, that they either have or will soon strike a medal saying William Branham's the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll wear it." Oh, my, with confidence in a man that knew those things. How could you disbelieve? How could you disbelieve? We talk, many people talk about faith, and then when they come face to face with the faithfulness of God and the prophet Elijah, they go to pieces. Oh, my, if Jesus calling unto deep, we flow together. My. Oh, I just feel so good. I hope you stay a while. All right, now listen. Remember that Jesus Christ was with John the Baptist here on this earth back in the days of his flesh. That's right. And he vindicated John the Baptist that he was that forerunner of himself. Now then, as Jesus identified John when John was here on earth with him, so he today identifies and authenticates the Elijah of this day, if you want to call him the John the Baptist for today, but it's really Elijah. Now, let's talk about this identity, this authentication of the Lord Jesus Christ to prove that this man of whom we speak is the Elijah for this very day. And of course, when we get through proving it, which I believe we can with Scripture, and when Brother Brown's ministry is all over, they did with him what they did with John. John just passed him by. And you know who killed John? The world system. And what killed William Branham? The world system. Drunkenness on the road. Why? Because the government gets a cash offer, so they want you all booming. And yet it's premeditated murder. For any man who knows that liquor will dull his mind and make him a potential killer, for that man to take that drink makes him absolutely a murderer. Right, the world system did it. Now, let's go to Revelation 10 and 1, where we begin to see how the Lord Jesus Christ will authenticate the ministry of this Elijah as he authenticated the ministry of John the Baptist. Because remember, if he's Jesus Christ the same, he's got to do it. Now, if he's not the same, forget it. Remember, what he once did, he's got to do it again the same way. Right? If he authenticated Elijah in his days of the flesh, he has got to somehow authenticate him again, and he's got to be on earth to do it. Right? If we can prove that, we're on good ground. And I'm so happy. My ground tonight is no sinking sand. No, sir. Now, Revelation 10, 1 to 10. "And I saw another mighty angel, messenger, come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head, his face as it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. He had his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea, his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars." Doesn't say he was a lion. Does it say he's a lion? No, sir. It says as when a lion roars. And this from the Greek is also the same word used to use about a cow making a noise. So don't call him a lion. Is it as? Right? Thunder? Right? That's good. Just like to keep you on your toes. Because you see, if you let your thinking get in, you miss it. But if you let his thinking get in, you get it, right? Sure. That's fine. Now, "and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write," said John, "and I heard a voice from where? Heaven, saying unto me, seal up those things that the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lift up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven things that there are, and the earth and things that there are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he should begin to sound, and sound upon the gospel trumpet, the mystery of God should be perfected and consummated, as God hath declared the good news of the gospel by his servants the prophets. I read you a literal perfect translation, so don't worry about it. Now, listen. You will notice that there are two messengers on earth at the very same time, but they are vastly different from each other. Right? One has descended from heaven and has to do with the seven seal thunders. The other one is a messenger born on earth, and he reveals all the mysteries. Christ, the Word, the entire Word of God, even the seven thunders. Now, this one from heaven is Jesus returned as the pillar of fire. Now, let's prove it. I saw another messenger come down heaven. Now, is Jesus called a messenger? He certainly is. He's the messenger of the covenant according to Malachi 3, right? Alright, so he qualifies. Where is he? He's in heaven. He is clothed with the cloud. Doesn't Revelation 1 say that? And also the book of Acts? And also the Old Testament authors? And a rainbow is upon his head. Now listen, where is the rainbow? It's over the throne, right? Who is on the throne? God is on the throne. Over whose head then is the rainbow? It's over God's head. Who then is descending from heaven? God is descending from heaven. That's fair enough. Now listen, it says his face was as it were the sun. All right, whose face is as the sun? First chapter of Revelation is Jesus Christ, one like to the Son of Man. Now, notice also about this rainbow. What is that rainbow? The rainbow is the covenant of promise. I will not destroy the earth again with the flood. What's he going to destroy this time? A fire. So therefore, this one is bringing us the covenant promise that God is about to perpetrate a disaster upon the earth. And he said, before I destroy it utterly, I'm going to send Elijah. So Elijah's got to be somewhere right here. He's got to be around the corner. Because this one descending here said, I'm going to send Elijah before I do that thing. Now notice, he's still a messenger. Notice, he is a messenger. Now, it's Jesus pillars of fire. Now hold it. Where's the rainbow? Up in the sky. Where's the sun? Up in the sky. Where's the feet? Down the ground. So therefore, visualize in your own mind a great man that John saw in a vision. He saw the earth begin to spin. Beautiful earth, the greens, the ambers, the blues, the colors that God gave the earth began to spin. He saw it there like a perfect globe handing. Then suddenly he saw this messenger descend. And when he looked, the messenger's feet were on the top of the earth, water and land. And his body stretched right to the very highest heaven. And there he saw that great one. Now what does that symbolize? It symbolizes that the very God of heaven would descend only with his feet, for the government and the headship would still be retained in the heavens, though his feet came down to walk, signifying his messenger bearing a message with the feet and not the face. And the feet are pillars of fire. So therefore, the pillar of fire, the messenger, the same thing that came to, the same one that came to Moses, the same one that came to Paul, once more is coming as a messenger in order to bring a message. And he literally descends from heaven to earth to do it, but the dominion is not yet set on the earth. But this is not the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is not the Son of God in that kingdom. The kingdom of God, what I should say. Now, let's go see this. He has descended, and his feet are upon the earth. And he is a messenger who is going to bring us something. And of course, we know it's got to be a message, because how are you going to have a messenger unless he got a message. You couldn't have it, could you? Well, there's no such thing as a message or a messenger. And there's no such thing as a messenger unless he's got a message. Remember the time that Absalom was destroyed? And I think it was Joab, wasn't it? That saw him destroyed. And he said to one man who was a real fast runner. Mind, he was a fast runner. And no doubt a real fast talker. And those who was really up and going again. And he said, let me go and get a message. Let me go. And Joab said, no, he said, I got somebody else. Well, he said, I can outrun that man. He said, let me run. He said, look, you can run if you want. But he said, you aren't going to take a message. So that man said to him, and pretty soon David and Roger Strong come. They said, who's that? Well, it looks like he's running like stones. I forget the fellow's name because I got a poor memory. And this is about the only time I talk about him anyway. And so he said, throw him in the kitchen, bring him in. Have you got a message? He said, no. Well, what are you running for? Who said, I felt like running. Oh, I said, man, he said, what would that do to somebody's heart? What would it do to a man longing for truth? Then what is it like when the wrong people run with the message? Without a message, you'll say. People run without a message. They've got nothing to tell for this day. Except old dead dogmas and creeds and things. Yeah. See? Now this other fellow a little bit slower. They said, oh, here comes somebody else. Thank God, I hope he's got the message. And you know what? He was a messenger because he had a message. See? Now this one here is a messenger, and he has a message, and he brings the message down, and it says, He roars as like to a lion. Now, he's not a lion. That's Leo coming to crush and destroy. Because remember, in the constellation, Leo's foot is on the dragon. Yes. Your Catholic Church has got a woman with her foot on the dragon. Ridiculous. The Church doesn't have its foot on the dragon. It's Christ, Leo the lion. This one is a messenger of the covenant. So, we're not looking for Leo setting up his kingdom. Now, here comes the question. People say, well, Brother Bill, if Jesus Christ descends from heaven, then you got us all mixed up, because how in the world can he descend from heaven and this not be what we're looking for, the rapture and all those things? Well, you see, this is what people don't understand. Jesus Christ could descend from heaven 17 to 27 times if he wanted to. In his own way. See? If he wanted to. And still not come for a bride. Now let's prove it here. Just keep your fingers here. We'll go to Ephesians. Now some of you folk heard me explain this before. I just barely mentioned this week. But I want you to see this now from the Word of God as we take a flow. Alright, verse 9. Now he that ascended, that's he that went up. What is it but that also he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Now, who was it that went to the lower parts of the earth? Jesus died and rose. Is that right? Now, so therefore, he that ascended is the one that died and then rose to the earth. Now, verse 10 is not saying the same thing in a different way. It's saying something entirely different. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above heaven, that he might fill all things. Now, who rose above all to fill all? Jesus did. But it says, he that died rose, then came back again. Does it say that? You better believe it, doctor. That's what it says. Even the Trinitarians know that. Then where do you get a spirit of God separate from the spirit of Jesus Christ? He came back as the Holy Ghost. Right? And now listen. He appeared to Paul as a pillar of fire with the complete revealed Word of God, of which Paul himself was forbidden to say certain things. Is that right? Right. Now what is he? Alpha. What is he? Omega. Now listen. He cannot be Omega unless he's Alpha. And if he's Alpha, he's got to be Omega. So if he came once as a pillar of fire to bring that revealed Word the first time, he's got to come back that next time as a pillar of fire and bring that same Word again. Right? Yes, you know that is right. He comes back as that messenger. Now, notice, this other messenger has to be the seventh church age messenger, And he has to be Elijah because he reveals all the mysteries pertaining to the gospel. See? That's what it says. He shall found the mystery of God to be perfected and consummated. That word perfect in the Greek is where you take fine sandpaper and bring it to a beautiful polish.
The bride already, yes, sir.
That makes good, beautiful thinking. And it's consummated. There's no more to go. Now, listen. This mighty angel lifts up his hand and swears by him that liveth forever and ever. Now, who is what he doing? He's swearing by God Almighty himself. Now, listen. No man can swear by God. Only God can swear by God. Is that right? Sixth chapter Hebrews. Is it sixth chapter? Let me see. Sixth chapter? Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, 13 to 15. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I'll bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee, and as he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For verily a man, men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise, the notice. Now watch this. Oh, I love this in the light of the present day message of which we're talking. Wherein God, willing more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have might have a strong consolation, who have fed for refuge to lay a hold upon the hope that's before us. God swearing by himself, coming down and confirming it, showing it in such a way, you can say, hallelujah, it's done, some mighty work of God is done. I'm resting, resting in the work. And that's what he did. Now listen to me. When he raised up his hand and swore by himself, it was what? Concerning the seed of Abraham, which would take in the Gentiles. So therefore, when he swears this time, it's that time has run out, the period of election is over. You're at the end time. This is time for the last elected one to come in. There'll be no more generation. There'll be no more words. God himself coming down, swearing by himself, bringing out such terrific and powerful manifestations that when you lay hold of that, you'll never lay hold of anything else because you know that you know that you know from what you see and understand this is it. Now listen. And they said here, he swore by himself that the time of the election has run out and time should be no longer. Turn to Ezekiel 12, 25 to 20. All right. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, oh, apostatized house, what is apostasy? Rebellion. When is rebellion? Under Laodicea. When a woman rebelled, they've rebelled today. What is Laodicea? The name of proper women. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. They all threw it down. I hope I'm not saying this too fast. I hope you're getting it. You catching what I'm saying? I hope so. Just hold the tape down, gentlemen. They play it back, they'll be able to understand. I know I talk fast. I'm sorry. Now listen. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, O Laodicean church age, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. He said, in this day when I say it, it won't be a future prophecy. It's going to come to pass right in your day. Now, again, the word of the Lord came saying, Son of man, here's your prophet. My brother Van says, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. Oh, California won't slide under for many million years. Oh, well, they've been talking about the Christ coming and the bride. And, oh, we've seen great things about Elijah before. Ho, ho, ho. Yeah. These days he prophesied, for far off therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, thus saith the Lord return.
In the Laodicean church age, the time of rebellion, Christ outside the church.
Right? Listen, none of my words shall be prolonged anymore, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, said the Lord. On the rapture day, Brother Branham first said, nothing is spoken and nothing will be.
The last church age mystery, brother, since it happens to the bride, is over here in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57. And you know as well as I do that that's when perfection comes, because mortality puts on immortality and corruptibility puts on incorruptibility. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now listen, the law of God is laid down that before you get a resurrection body, you got to die. Right here now, Paul says different. I'm going to show you mystery. Just as sure as gravity has to work, so death must work in order to bring the resurrection. I am going to bring a new law against it. The new law that I bring will absolutely stop death claiming you in order to bring about a resurrection. I show you a mystery. I show you a doctrine. I show you a teaching. I show you something revealed and come down from God out of heaven. We shall not all sleep. We'll all be changed. You won't sleep, you won't die, but you'll all be changed. In a moment, this is denied. That's the last trumpet. What's the last trumpet? Seven church age message trumpet. Sound me trumpet. That's the message that foreruns Christ. Where the trumpet shall sound. Notice the double emphasis. It doesn't say this about the first age. It doesn't say this about the second age. It says it about the last age. Why? Because the last age blows the first trumpet. Yeah, it's going to sound over you. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptibility, this which I can wear away by use, must put on incorruptibility and never be touched again. And this mortal, death doom, shall put on immortality, standing right here. It doesn't say this was half corrupted. Doesn't say that which wasn't mortal went down. He said this here. Did I know it? Brother, you better believe it's possible, because it sure is wearing away. My brother Ben said, oh, where are those days when I was 16 years old? And I eat the same food today that I ate when I was 16, but he said, it sure isn't doing the same thing for me. But, just said. Now, listen, this, it says, so man, this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put immortality, then shall be brought to pass the same that is in death, is swallowed up in victory. Now it's at this time that the bride makes herself ready by the inner garment of the word of God applied to her. Because this word in the Greek put on means an investiture of a vesture. That's right. And it's an inner garment. And remember, investuring a person is placing a person, and this message places the bride. Now, remember, in the seventh seal, Brother Branham screamed out to us in prophecy. He said, that sword struck my hand. Now, this was a real sword. He said it was. Beautiful. And the voice said, the sword of drinking. And he said, the sword of drinking, well, that's the sword of God. And he screamed out, bring on your holy vesture with the word of God standing by. What in the name of common sense has a garment got to do with the sword? Everything. Because it's no longer cutting. It's clothing. He screamed in sheer prophecy, not knowing one word of the Greek, and not even realizing it was here in 1 Corinthians 15. You say, Brother Ben, I don't believe that. And how come when Brother Brown screamed out, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is receiving the word for your day, in every day you want scripture for? You bet it's right. Whether you know it or not, because I sat at the table 2 weeks later and grinned and said, Brother Branham, remember when you and I used to talk about the evidence of the Holy Ghost? You said it was loving. I proved it wasn't loving. And I said it was tongues, and you proved it wasn't loving. The tongues, and so we sat there with our little toothpick cross. He said, yeah. And I said, well, the other day when you said the evidence was receiving the word to your day, something just said, that's it, that's it. And I went down the road and I said, why is it that's it? You didn't hear one verse of Scripture.
I was going down the road in the car another day, and the Lord said, "Certainly that's the evidence. The Bible's full of them. When He has come, He'll teach you all things. Lead you into all truth." Why, the Bible's full of what the Holy Ghost is going to bring. So I said, "Brother Branham, give me some scriptures." And now, I don't think I'm smart enough. He don't think I'm smart. He told his dad, he's not. He said, "Take one right now. I think you mind if I think one?" He said, "No." So I began quoting scriptures. And he grinned broadly. So I'm just showing you to let you know that he screamed in prophecy. Actually screamed in prophecy. Bring on your holy vesture with the word of God standing by, because you cannot be in vesture, you cannot be placed, you cannot have a wedding garment on, because he said, I am here calling a bride to Christ, and Jessica getting you ready for the marriage of it. Every single word he taught us was absolutely one. Even his vernacular is actually in the Greek. Dave Monmouth, that good friend of mine, the Brother Perry mentioned, our good friend of Brother Perry, who goes to know him. He was so amazed when he first heard Brother Brown having been invited there, because the Greek wedding is not punctuated. It's got lower and upper case letters, but it's not punctuated. And the teacher teaches the kids to read by a pointer which indicates the emphasis on the word to make you know what's being said. So what they call it is emphasized language. And you know Rotherham wrote emphatic Greek New Testament, showing the little mark where your voice rises and falls. And Dave Monmouth heard Brother Branham read in the English with his voice rising and falling exactly the way the Greek's written. And he, listen, he can't even read good English, let alone the Greek. You know that Brother Branham was not educated in the larger sense of the word we call education. Very clever, wonderful person. And a marvelous mind. I wish he had a mind like his or half like him. Because I know he's learning. But knowing the laws of English, he never knew those. Vocabulary was fine, but he never knew the laws of English. Now, so I didn't employ them. I guess that's because he didn't know them. But Dave Monmouth heard him on more than one occasion read in the English exactly the way the Greek is written. So I know he didn't know these things. But in prophecy, he was here in order, in his last day, to clothe the bride and get her ready. Now, what does the Bible say about the end time bride? In the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and 18 to 19, it's a warning. I testify to every man that heareth. Remember, hearing is understanding. So this book receives a prophet and a revelation at the end time. The word of the prophet is book. If any man could add to the things, these things God can add in the place. Now remember, you cannot add the plague except at the tribulation. So therefore, this warning is to an end-time people who hear the revealed words of this book. You add one word, you get the plague. Take away one word, your name is out of the book of life. When did Jesus scream out, "Take their names off the book"? When he's hanging upon Calvary. When Israel crucified him, he said, "Take away your name." When they crucified the Son of God of flesh, in Hebrews 6, "Take away your name." See? Because why? He's the word. Now, also remember what I said in 2 Corinthians 2:11, 2-3. The bride has to come back to being a virgin. A virgin of what? A virgin of the word. Now let's prove that. Now remember, it's not a virgin of her conduct she fell by. She fell from her virginity by turning aside from the word. Only then, as Brother Brown said in the greatest battle ever fought, can a man sin when he turns aside first from the word. Now, he said, "I fear that in me, as a serpent beguiling, the telling soul your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity of Christ." Notice how he knew the Trinity was coming. "For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom you have not preached," sure he did. Jesus was Jehovah, according to Paul. They name a second person of Godhead. "If you receive another spirit, the spirit that Paul said came down with Jesus' spirit and made him a third person." Another gospel? Change the word? "Which you have not accepted?" And you might bear again. While the apostle absolutely knew that they were coming when they had a Trinity. He said, "How do you know?" Because God told Moses face to face in Deuteronomy 31, "Write this song, because Israel is going to go after other gods, and I'm going to chastise them." And Moses said, "I know your hard heart and your stiff neck and how you do things. And my God told me that you're going to get in trouble. I'm going to put this song down here." And he raised his hand and said, "Hear me, O heaven. I'm going to say what you said. Hear me, O people. I'm going to tell you what God said." And he went right down that line. Brother, see, that ought to thrill you. It ought to make some people quick with fear, knowing disaster's coming. But if you got your faith in that kind of a God, wouldn't you worry about it? And if you've seen God reveal himself, like the book of Ezekiel said, according to this over here in Revelation, and you see him come forth as we saw this prophet come forth, you haven't got a care in the world. This is your act. You can cause the weary man. All right, listen. Now let's stop a moment and think here. We said these are two messengers, Revelation 1, 10 and 1, Revelation 7. Now, as I said, a messenger is one with a message. The pillar of fire comes down as a fiery messenger. He descends as the voice of God, and he uses the prophet as a mouthpiece, because this is exactly what God said he would do. He said whenever the pillar of fire came, the people would not see it, because all it could do is trouble them, confuse them, disrupt them. He said, I will use a prophet. You know that, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Jesus is the messenger from heaven, bringing us the end time message, or the last message before the rapture. And the message is Revelation 10 and 7. Christ, the mystery of God, Christ the Word, is being revealed to us by the prophet's word. Now, according to Luke 17 and 30, the Son of Man is being revealed again by human flesh, and in human flesh. Why is he revealed in human flesh? It is the Word of God descending again by the prophet's spirit. Not yours, not mine. Prophet's spirit. I know that the Pentecostal people cannot receive this teaching. I'm not fussing at them, just telling you why. They are under the delusion that they don't need anybody to teach them, because they got the Holy Ghost. And they have a little preacher woman out there in Portland, Oregon. I suppose she may be deceased by now. And she started an apostolic faith movement, a Hornet movement. And in there she said she did it. Because she said, when you see Jesus like I saw Jesus, your life has changed. Could she have seen Jesus and then believed she's to go preaching? She couldn't. She didn't. She could. How could she? He is the Word. I know this could hurt you and insult you, but brother, sister, we're not babies anymore. We're not in the kingdom of God and Christ. We're still sucking on a ball, little no care, little no care. This is me. You stand up and you face it. You didn't mean. And think about it. You stand up, I'll take my medicine. God forgive me, I've been wrong. Don't play around with me, see? You don't mind me shouting like this, do you? I'm hurting my voice, and your eardrum couldn't be that sensitive. My throat's bothering me. Now, listen. The Word of God descending by the prophet's spirit, not yours and not mine. Moses' spirit. Now listen, not even the 70 or the 250 who had gifts and great ministry. That's why the earth swallowed them up, is because they went against the man with the word, and so shall fire destroy all those against the word. Now, how did the word come to our age, not this day, I mean Paul's age? It came to Paul. What came the word of God out of you, or came it unto you only? And they said, well, Paul, you brought it. And by whose spirit did it come? God the Word descended by the prophet's spirit. Now, not the pillar of fire. That wasn't the prophet's spirit, that's God. That's the Word God, out of God. The Word. And remember, there's no messenger without a message. And since we can't have the messenger, we get the message. How do we get it? Through the man, the prophet. Who is this prophet? The seventh church age messenger. Who is he? Elijah. We'll prove it. Now, we know this is so because of the vindication of the prophet, which is the actual ministry of Christ, returned to earth, but revealed by the prophet. Now remember I said, John the Baptist was on earth, and Jesus was on earth, right? And Jesus vindicated John when John was upon earth, and the reason Jesus could vindicate John would be because of Jesus' ministry, because John couldn't perform. Neither could William Branham perform any more than I can perform. All this nonsense of a man doing miracles. Although the man does miracles. The man identified with the one who does the miracles is God in the man, see? Now, remember Jesus said, Nicodemus said, no man can do these things except God be with him. And Jesus said, the Father himself doeth the work. So what is it? Jesus vindicated John. Now that's right.
But Jesus himself was vindicated by the works that Jesus did.
Okay, John Kenny. I could preach a big sermon on that one.
Because I like those little simple deal of truth.
Now, let's look again. John 10, 37 and 38.
All right. Okay. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him.
Okay.
Let's go further still. John 15 and 24.
Okay.
15, I'm sorry, look at 14. 15, 24. If I, now listen now. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. Now hold it right here. Do you know Israel had a blood sacrifice that took the place of Jesus Christ?
Did.
And you know that that blood sacrifice they used looking forward to Jesus Christ brought those dead out of the grave when Jesus rose, that right? Then don't tell this story. They said the blood sacrifice didn't mean a thing anymore because he's shown them his mighty works. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. You turn down those works and it proves you hate God. See what we're talking about tonight, brother sister? I know it sort of kills you, but on the other hand, the Bible said when all these things come to pass, look up, you're against the dog. Now you didn't turn them down. You received it. See? And he said, when you saw those works, you saw both me and my Father. Now listen. Then we got to see him again doing those works. And he is reading that pillar of fire. And this man, William Branham, really is John the Baptist, which is Elijah Branham. I have to use both terms of choice, see? Let's find out. Oh, I love this. Oh, goody, goody. I can chuckle because, you see, I got something to chuckle about. Acts, the third chapter, verse 19. Repent you, therefore, and be converted. Come have a change of mind and turn around. Get your own thoughts out of your mind. Get out of it and talk. Turn around and see God. That your sins may be blotted out. Because if you don't see him, your sins remain. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What is the presence of the Lord that is supposed to be with us? The word in the Greek, it says anything that is presented to the eye. All right? Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, Rabbi, a little sound of the puzzle here. He said, you've got to be a teacher sent from God because nobody can do what you're doing. He said, God with him. In other words, he is saying, I'm puzzled here, Lord, and I'm going to put this as nice as I can, but I'm really buffaloed. I'm looking at a man. I know where he was born. I know where he was reared. I know all about you. But I see only what God can do. Now, he said, he that sees me sees the Father. What part of God was presented to Israel's eyes? Not the flesh. That wasn't God. It was a mighty work that only God can do. And the Bible says, just before restoration, just before the word comes, you're going to get refreshed. A fresh breeze is going to blow. A fresh light is going to come across you. And you're going to see everything you can see with the naked eye of God. And then Jesus will come after restoration of the word, which is after what your eye can see of God. Now then, it tells us here then in this scripture very, very simply and beautifully that that which is seen of God is going to come to this earth. That which our eyes can see is going to come back to this earth. That's proven. That it's the ministry of Jesus Christ himself. Luke 17, 26. This is part of a 6-hour sermon I like to preach sometime. On this Elijah message and ministry, to put it all together. Now listen, 17, 26. As it was in the days of Noah,
so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Not the coming. It says the days of the Son of Man return to earth. This in the Greek means those experiences. So therefore the experiences of the Son of Man will be on earth at the same time the experiences of Noah's days are upon earth. Noah will not be here in the flesh, but the spirit of that day will be here. Jesus will not be in the flesh, but the same ministry will be here in the flesh. And check it out by Daniel 70, as which Brother Brenham says that same thing three times. The ministry returns to good. And now, that's all you're going to see about God. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as he vindicated John the Baptist on the strength of his great ministry, so we prove that this is the John for this day, because Jesus Christ himself proved he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, through the vindication of his own ministry as he stands beside the prophet, and the prophet tells you word by word what's going to come, and it comes. And it's done. That's the law. Not William Branham. God. He's not God now, dude. It's God in the name. Remember, the Holy Ghost came by the mouth of David. God taught for this man. This ministry given him, or rather gave Brother Branham, gave Jesus Christ the right to vindicate John. It certainly did. Because he said, prove what he was by. The very fact that he proved the same yesterday, Dan Barrett, and this man's ministry proved that William Branham is the forerunner with his message of the coming of the actual coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is Leo the Lion. Now remember, Brother Sister, when that one, the bleeding man, took the book out of the hands of him that sat upon the throne, he still stands there. He did not come down to the earth as a bleeding lamb with that book. But the open book from Revelation 5 comes down to the earth in Revelation 10. And remember, it had to be both open and red. It was not red in heaven. It was merely open and the pictures came out. It was brought down to earth here in Revelation 10, according to Isaiah 28, where it was read, the book which was handed to the learned, it was sealed, they couldn't open it. The book opened, handed to the ignorant, and he couldn't read it. And it's that message, vindicated, that gives us the rest. Where a poor old weary folk running from pillar to post, trying to find out the truth, with every table full of vomit, we finally come to our rest. We're not looking any further. We're not running anywhere. We're just sitting back waiting for the glorious light of the revelation of Jesus Christ to shine upon our hearts for the glory of Almighty God, the places in the rapture. Now, let's look at William Branham at the end time prophet. I don't have to go into too much of this, but remember, Brother Terry already brought out, he was born with a supernatural light. Now remember in the book of Acts that's over his head. The book of Acts says a very peculiar, beautiful thing here. It says this. Now, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as spoken, shall likewise or likewise foretold of these days. Now, what's he say? Why did he use Samuel there? He didn't use Moses. That's your big prophet. Why Samuel? Because Samuel was the first child prophet to hear the voice of God and bring the word. So did William Branham. They heard the actual voice of Almighty God in the tree. And remember, Brother Sister, oh my terrible memory. I quoted this a dozen times. If I can't quote it, I'm sure Perry remembers hearing me say it enough times that he'll help me. What's that one? Is it in 1 Samuel 3 something, Perry, where the word of the Lord came to Sam, the word of God was revealed to him? I'm going to call on somebody's memory because mine just gave way to old age. Oh, he was running away. That's right. 3:21. My, you talk about a memory. I thought we did. Thank you, Lord. Listen. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord, how do you appear? For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. God revealed. Personal revelation. By word. William Branham had revelation and visions. Things that came to pass ever since he was a child. This ministry, when it developed, was a threefold ministry of three phases. God gave him a miracle ministry to attract the people, but he gave him a sign in his hand to confuse them. Remember when Brother Branham had that sign? That sign, he would turn angry red. turn purple, turn color. And he would say, sister, you got a cancer. Brother, you got a tumor. You got TB. And all was I say in my mind, something struck me funny. Now that that's strange. That sign only tells him what it is, but every time he tells where it's at. The sign doesn't tell him where it's at. Tuberculosis where? Home? Kidney? Lungs? Just said tuberculosis. Cancer where? Eyeball? Foot? Blood? Just said cancer. And they always wondered. Then one day he told him. He said that was to bring on the impersonators. So they all began feeling a smelling. Well, I tried my best too. I got a young sincere as I was. God knows, I thought maybe I could have this too. And I looked at it. It sure did work good, didn't it? I can't apologize. I just ignorant. I can repent, though, and I sure did. And I sure am, because the Bible teaches that repent. See? Now listen. The next thing was the prophetic ministry of reading their heart. And this was greater than number one because this did not fool. No, the other one did. This was no fooler. This was a genuine messianic sign of which Brother Branham said was the last sign before the end times to draw spiritual death.
Oh, he's the fortune teller.
Who said that to you? Oh, he's the Beelzebub. Well, anybody can do that. Well, I thought we'd throw down the street the other day about that.
Not this. You show me where they never missed.
I can show you where William Branham never missed, but they did. When did they ever bring a man to Jesus Christ with their gift? This man brought all to Christ by his gift. And the next thing was the third pole, the third thing, which was the revealed word, which was to position the bride, bringing her back to her headship, Jesus Christ, in order that they could have a union, uniting in the marriage of the Lamb.
See?
Now remember, the pillar of fire is doing this. Why?
We'll see in a little while.
Now, remember, no prophet of himself could do that. It is the Spirit of God and the man. Now, remember Brother Branham said, in doing God a service at Shreveport. Therefore, the Elijah for this day is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, by his Spirit, appearing amongst the bride, doing the same things he did on earth, and restoring the word. It is God, not a man, but it will come by a prophet or some human being. In other words, it's a human being, a prophet. The Elijah of the flesh in mankind is a man, but the true Elijah is Jesus Christ himself, because there is only one prophet, and that is God. Because God himself is the prophet. It is the Son of Man, prophetic ministry on earth once more, and he is finishing his ministry. Listen now. Brother Brown spoke the words of original seed. He is finishing his ministry in the bride, which ministry he could not fill in the days of his flesh because there wasn't time. Acts 3, 19 to 22. Again. Present the Lord, saying, Jesus Christ is appointed unto you, whom the head of must receive for the restoration of all things, spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets in the world began. For Moses truly said to fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, your brethren, unlike unto me, him you'll hear in all things, wherever you'll stand to you, it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed. The word in the Greek is utterly destroyed. For among the people that did not happen when Jesus was here, no, sir, it didn't. They were not utterly destroyed. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir. You know that as well as I do. They weren't. Israel was only blinded. And they went on. Right? All right, and listen. He's still got to do it. Who's got to do it? Jesus has got to do it. Okay, right? Isaiah 61. Hurry right along here. Praise the Lord. All right? Verses 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, a man speaking, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings to me, sent to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the only prison them that are blind, bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he sat down in the temple and did not read any further, but listen, he hath sent me to proclaim, a messenger was sent to proclaim, and he failed to proclaim. So he must now, therefore, sometime proclaim. What messenger? The same one? Same one? What's going to proclaim now? The day of the vengeance of our God. What did he do? Brother Brown preached indictment, didn't he? I indict this generation. The day of the vengeance of our God was preached by the prophet,
has spoken to him by the Holy Ghost, the pillar of fire, to comfort them that mourn. When is that going to take place? When he appears to his room and comforts those that mourn in the morning of atonement. You've got more returns than you thought. You've got to know where they are. Brother Branham said the whole world was going to be defeated, the church world, by the appearing, because they're going to miss it, because it's all confused with the coming. And we've already seen the Lord Jesus appear through the complete revelation by the Word of God, by the massive ministry, bringing every word together until, brother, sister, the end time word, which is you and I, is coming together right now. Oh, there is a bride amongst us, brother, sister. There could be 1 million claiming this message. And there could be 999,999, close to next to a million. But if there's only going to be one of us, there'll be that one. Standing right here, a revealed word, bride, with the full manifestation of Jesus Christ in it before she leaves this earth. It's coming. The promise of God has been vindicated and made sure for this age. Make no mistake about it. There's one thing left, and that's the righteous judgment of our Almighty God. Because it says right here, you turn him down, he'll destroy everything. And that's what Malachi says. Because it doesn't say, lest I come and smite. It says, lest I come and smite utterly. Who is that prophet? Jesus Christ himself. Not William Branham. He's Elijah in the brain. Jesus Christ himself. He's the messenger. Come down to every fire. You think that William Branham, tender-hearted man that he was, would say, America, Saturday, I don't pray for anymore? You believe he could say that? Not in your life. Intercessory, be that mediatorial power over America was already drifting right off the scene. Where is that bride? She's scattered. She's here, she's there. She wanted that word. As our brother said the other night, so true. If we could only wait upon the Spirit of God to get that revelation, little though it be, there wouldn't be any fussing amongst us. But it's not going to be that way. Except for the elect, you'll get a little by little. Brother Brown said, you can be this much in indicating about 1 inch with your finger and get it. You can be this much in indicating 4 inches and miss it. Why? Because one is a real revelation by the Holy Spirit of God, and one is where you just got caught and were smart enough for granted. I got no argument there. My mind is more intelligent than my hand. My eye is more sense than my foot. And there be men who understand this message, and it is beautiful, and their lives are good before God. That doesn't exclude you folks that don't understand those super things. Otherwise, why are your pastors, teachers, evangelists, men? They gotta know more than you know. Or what is the use of having? They gotta be an example. Do you believe it? Do you believe you literally saw what can be seen of God when that pillar of fire was there and Brother Brown did those miracles? Do you believe it was really God when he said, thus saith the Lord? Do you believe what he said was the revealed word of God for your day? And do you stand on it? Do you run around someplace else wondering if maybe what you had you could sort of figure it out with it? Do you believe maybe if somebody else came along and had something they could do something for you? Come on, brothers and sisters. God sent a messenger, not messengers. Now listen. This word ministry brings about the restoration, puts us in the rapture, according to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm sorry, yeah, 15. That's the right one. Got the wrong book here. Keep turning too far. 35. So some man will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body did he come? How are you going to get changed to make this rapture? Thou fool. Never saw souls that not quicken except to die. Have you died to all your creeds and dogmas? Have you died to all your thoughts, all your ideas? Do you simply just close your eyes in the face of what the prophet said and preachers even say, God, I'll believe it or kill me? Can you stand today and read your Bible in the light of this being the very word of God and then hear what that prophet said and grit your teeth and take what he said though this book seems to indicate different? If you don't, you might end up like your brother who claimed he did. And now thinks he's the Son of Man with Jesus Christ to set it in. But you might think you can put your church in order outside of what Brother Branham's on.
Can you grip your teeth in the face of those epistles of John and then come right down to reality and say, that's what that prophet said, I believe, but I don't care what I think I see. Israel couldn't do it. They died for it. Now we're going to separate the chaff from the wheat. You look back and say, well, Brother Dale, I had some teeth. God never told those elders and Moses they didn't have something because they did have something. And you know what it was? God took the spirit off of Moses and put it on those 70 men. And then 250 got in those same ranks. And they turned on Moses because he had the word and they had the power. Brother Branham came with the power ministry. They grabbed the power. And he said, we've seen the word of God revealed in power. Now it's time for revelation. Why? Because Christ is not in that power alone. He's the word all of it. Not one verse around the Lord that I hear and give Jesus. But the full revelation of it, all of it, all the love, all the grace, all the mercy, all the truth, all the full picture comes forth, and they crucified him again. My Lord had pity on this generation. Now listen, he brings about the restoration. Listen, with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. If we die to our creeds and dogmas, if we have, brother, sister, I got news for you. We've been resurrected from our creeds and dogmas by the word of Almighty God. If the false word will kill you, the real world and word will make you alive. Why? Because God has the antidote. Now, that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but a bare grain. It may chance a wheat or some other grain. Now listen, you've got to put on incorruption if you want incorruptibility. Where is it? I don't have it. Nobody's got it. You've been dying, 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 dying. Something's got to happen. What's going to do it? Bring on your holy vesture with the word of God standing there. Brother, sister, if you and I want eternal life right in this body now, we've got a soul for it. I said we've got a soul for it. The fact that we've been born again is not it. It is it, but it's not it. In other words, brother, sister, we were born again. But except this message of the prophet came to us, we would still go to that grave. But there's got to be somebody standing here. What is going to make the difference? A new sowing. What's he going to sow? He's going to sow the revealed, absolute, infallible understanding through revelation, the word of God and the bride. And she's going to put it on. She won't ask questions. Oh, my brother, my sister. It's a pretty sneaky woman. When her boyfriend brings her dancing, did you see it? Bring her the money. She just grins from ear to ear. And she's waited for a long, so long for that token fits on her finger. You just can't wait. Show it on this thing. That's the word to me tonight. I'm not going to wonder what he robbed the bank for this or that or anything. I'm just going to fix that ring on my finger. Told you what that word. And then put it on. I got no more questions. Sometimes I wonder just which way it's moving. But that's all, because I know where it's going. It's going straight back to where it was. But clothed this time in a body like under his own glorious body. Not just a seed that was predestinated, but a full-blown plant. Hallelujah. Right in this day, brother, sister, men and women. Oh, I know we've got our fears and our foibles and all these things that bother. Brother, sister, listen. One of these days, soon now, the dead are going to come out of the ground, and we who are truly elected, clothed in the glory of this wonderful word, are going to miss not one step, not one breath, not one wing, and not one heartbeat. We're going to walk right into the eternal life. Right back to that to immortality, huh? Because we've been taken back by the word. Now listen, how beautiful this is. How wonderful. John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. But it doesn't yet appear we shall be. We know that he shall appear. We're going to be like him. Now listen, brother, sister, we're going to see in this. What does that mean? John said, this thing has never happened before. But it's going to happen. When he appears, we're going to be like him because we're going to see in his ear. Brother Branham, by the demonstration of the Holy Ghost in his life, by the power of the revealed word of God, showed us exactly what Jesus Christ was. One God. They said, you won this craving. We're looking for three. Of course, we'll take the first one, Jesus, and then we'll get the other two later on. He said he's predestinate. He reprobates. They said, you lie. We couldn't serve a God that hateful who'd love one
and denying of death, all that means, Brother Bradley, you should know better because you call yourself a prophet. That's just those two natures in there. You see, you were Esau. Then you got changed to Jacob.
Such unmitigated trite lies I've never heard in my life. I can call them nothing else. Nothing else. I have never heard things so close to blasphemy as I have heard that the unveiling, the appearing, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, brother, sister, we saw him as he was. Oh, what a Jesus.
William Branham, you know that you've got those gifts. You know you said before that he told me personally, it's on a tape, I haven't lost one gift. What about that picture you saw where Brother Organ Bright took it and those flames of fire? He told you categorically that those were the gifts in his ministry, and though the other man was perishing day by day, the inner was getting richer and more glorious. He was more powerful, more wonderful than he ever was. Then when Abraham, stand up here and heal those sick.
I got no command to you.
But you said you got the power.
Not the authority. Look,
haven't you got compassion? Brother, I died for it, but I can't do it.
I saw Christ, I said, and I do the same thing. He walked by a pool.
Men and women dying, leprosy, cancer eating their bowels out. And here's a man that can only, maybe God has way, struggling in the down pool, still fighting his way around. He doesn't seem to need healing.
And Jesus said, you want to be healed? He says, I can't get in that pool. He said, I didn't ask you that. I said, you want to get healed? I'm not arguing with you. He said, ask you, Chris, you want to get healed?
Oh, he said, I want to be healed.
Come on, get up and walk. You want to be bragging, man? Why don't you breathe? Breathe.
Just breathe. I was the kind of sermon you preached before you showed that film, but you don't think you saw the film. Come to saw him. We saw God. I, me, Dale, and my wife, Allison, saw God. We saw God. I repeat, we saw God.
You assembled? I saw William Brown, too. He revealed God. And I saw the God he revealed. And I got back. Scripture by scripture and word by word, it had to be not all of whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded to be able to see that stuff. And on him against that, do not listen. How will this ministry word bring about the restoration? It's brought it back and making her a word bride. What are you waiting for? Waiting for the chaff to separate. The grain's a bit green in the house. But it's ripening quickly. It's there than we think. I said the other day, brother, sister, the Roman Catholic Church is ready to fall apart of the scene. It won't. You know, we may be in Egypt. We gave Germany, we gave Russia to the communists. We did it. Oh, we did it. Don't deny. We gave China to the communists so we could raise up the kings of the north and the kings of the east to burn the hottest flesh, which we can do. Then we gave Europe to the Catholics. Oh, we did. We took her right away from the communists. Yes, we know that. The communists weren't percentage-wise in Russia. They were in Italy and in France. And we took it right away and gave it to the Pope. And now Europe will give her strength to the Pope. Lovely, happy, rejoicing. Glory, glory, glory. We'll be right along with it. And the communists will give the strength for the hour, waiting to burn her flesh, and then drop that bomb on the Vatican, one on us. They're living too. Coming pretty fast. Because it's falling apart of the scene. And something's got to be done. And it's going to be done. And you know something? I believe it's already done. But they're just waiting to take off the rest. Remember, Jesus always was and always will be. But it took a prophet to take off the rest to unveil. And this thing is here right now. And you'll unveil. Oh, brother, sister, what manner of men we ought to be. Oh, I remember the days of Abraham as I look back in my mind and I felt it sanctified. And I see Jesus standing there in the person of a man. And he's opposite her. In fact, he's behind the tent. And he said, Abraham, I got good news for you. All these years you've been getting weaker and weaker, blinder and blinder, deafer and deafer.
Your stepfather worse and worse.
But he says right around the corner. And you're going to have a son coming in this evening. And Sarah inside laughed.
Fire, Sarah!
And Judah said, I didn't. She's scared because the pressure's on now. Oh, but you did it. I wouldn't be surprised the bride will not get serious. And will not see these things that many people are looking for and crying about and wondering where they're at. Until my God speaks once more, and the whip falls, for as many as I love, I chasten. He said, you don't love me, but I love you. I'm not going to lose one of you. Oh, whoop, it's green. Oh, bride of Christ. You wonder just where things are at. Don't wonder. He came with that promise. He proved who he was. We know who he is. We know who we are. And just around the corner, just around the corner, when the sun is the highest, the great heat is on, that grain ripens like you couldn't believe it. In that same noon heat, the tares spread. And the mixed multitude screamed. And that's the minute God's got to put that sickle in. Or you would have to take the tares with the wheat. But he won't do it. He'll take the wheat and then burn up the tares. Christ's own ministry vindicates that William Branham was the Elijah for this day. You see that? For all your honor. You won't look anywhere else? That's right. No place to go?
No.
This is it. You know, Brother Sitzer, rock doesn't run. Brother Zinke told about those lively rocks. I don't care how lively they are. They don't run. They get placed in the temple with tempered mortar by the Holy Ghost. You think the Holy Ghost is tempered mortar?
Sure he is.
Has he ever lost a battle?
Mm-hmm.
Will he ever lose one of us?
No.
Can you trust him?
Sure.
Let's trust him. Shall we rise? Gracious Heavenly Father, how good and how precious it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Yes.
To go with these things, Lord Jesus, that thrill our hearts. Oh, Lord, like John, he said, we've handled, we've seen, we know that word of life. Oh, God, Brother Branham wasn't that word of life. You are that word of life.
Amen.
But Jesus, he brought that word.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad, Lord, the word's full of surprises. I didn't know, I had no idea there'd be a prophet with us, said the Lord. And then it took me so long to find out what it really meant, and thus said the Lord. But Lord, I'm glad even though it took a long time.
Amen.
It was sure worth waiting for.
Yes. Amen.
Lord, you showed me when I was just a young kid preacher. It'd take a prophet open that book. I didn't even know what I was waiting for, just some prophet. And here he was.
Yes.
And he was my friend and the friend of these people. His brother Sarah said, I never saw him, but I know he saw me. I know he did too, because he had visions of people around the world.
Yes.
And here and there, not being God, but a servant of God. And he that received the prophet, the name of the prophet, received the prophet as Lord. Lord, we receive William Branham as that prophet because you said what a prophet was in that book.
Amen.
That great encyclopedia of the speckled bird is the word of God. Not that he was that one, but forerunning by the message. Lord, we see by the description that fits. Lord, we're willing to abide in that description. Lord, tonight, please circumcise our hearts and our minds. Circumcise these nerves of ours too, Lord. We're nervous. We don't need to be this way, God. You know we don't. Lord, I'm glad that you were tempted and tested with every fault that we go through, though you didn't succumb. That's why we've got hope tonight. We've got a man pleading for us, the man Christ Jesus, because you know, for nobody can be a high priest and not be a man, because he won't know how to pray for the folk and be with them. But thou, Lord, know. Father, tonight, I know that I'm stupid and ignorant and dumb and deaf and blind, and it's hard for me to just think that you really took my place and felt everything I'm feeling now.
Hallelujah.
Lord, you really know what it's all about. God, we know the lightning's not going to stand in our place. The thunder's not going to do the earthquake. There's going to be peace, the bloody Lamb of God. And he became us that we might become him.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't know how to pray and say anymore. All I know is, God, if you don't take care of this ship,
and you don't man lord the battle, isn't anybody going to make it? Because it's got to be you, Lord, or nothing, because we're the nothing. Jesus, guide us, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim to this foreign land. We can wear it though we be. Yes, but yet strong enough to fuss and fight. God, let's see our strength is strong enough tonight to never fuss and fight again. Or to worry about this or that. But setting our face like a flame, press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, forgive every sin tonight. Wash everyone by the blood of the Lamb. Sanctified by the washing water, by the cleansing of the word of Almighty God. Oh, God, be with us. Lord, tonight as our brother Cyril goes, how that word has touched our heart, but Indonesia, Thailand, Philippines, thinking about them, not knowing why he's thinking. Lord, I know he wouldn't want to go unless you sent him, and now you're sending him. Be with him, Lord God, in such a strange and wonderful way that he might be that little insignificant match that lights the candle, that lights the lamp that lights the fire. That brings in the bride, whatever there is in Indonesia and in those countries, oh God. Not looking for numbers, Lord, because we don't know numbers, we don't go by them. But looking for lost sheep, looking for the elect, looking for that one. Maybe just that one that good master goes for and lays it upon his shoulders. Oh, and that's more rejoicing than 99 that don't need him. Than millions that don't want the message. Somebody said, I want. Coming back, restored to Eden. Bless his ministry, Lord. Bless everyone, my God, that attempts to serve you. May it be according to truth. May it be according to thy will. May it be Jesus, revealed in human flesh, so that flesh might not even understand it. All he knows is he's trying to serve God. Be their hands, Lord. Be their feet. Be their everything. Oh, God. One of these days, Lord, we're going to pray the last prayer. And it's going to be answered. We're going to be gone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God tonight. God tonight, flood these hearts and minds. Flood these hearts and minds. Until we become the flood. Now under the King eternal and more than this, for the only wise God. Even Jesus Christ, Lord, be all power and honor and glory. Blessed be his wonderful name.